Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharski.com coming up at 8 o'clock. Bob Kravitz from The Athletic at 9 o'clock talking all things Indianapolis Colts as well. So there continues to be high praise coming in for Ryan Tannehill thus far throughout Titans training camp, and more of that rolled in yesterday on ESPN. Here's what Diana Russini from ESPN had to say yesterday on the camp that Ryan Tannehill has had thus far.
How do the Titans feel about their quarterback situation heading into this season?
Let's start with Ryan Tannehill because, you know, there's so much attention on Malik Willis. I just got back from Nashville, and the cover of the sports sections of most of the newspapers there are Malik, and he's the bright spot of this team. This is Ryan Tannehill's team, and I can tell you it's Ryan Tannehill's team because the way he looks in camp, he looks fantastic. Field. We know the last time we saw him was against the Bengals in the playoffs, throwing three interceptions that cost the Titans their entire season. We know the whole story since then. But Ryan Tannehill looks like he has bounced back mentally. And I know there's no A.J. Brown out there on the field, but he's done a really good job of figuring out all the different weapons that he can use and finding their best characteristic. You can't replace A.J. Brown. That's not what I'm trying to debate here. But I'm trying to also share with you guys what I saw, which was a group of receivers that all bring a little something different to the table. And let's not forget, the nucleus of this team is their running back, Derrick Henry. So while, yes, we're focused there on those pass catchers, it's Derrick Henry's offense, and Ryan Tannehill looks sharp.
So that was Diana Russini yesterday on ESPN with Field Yates there as well. So another person very complimentary of Ryan Tannehill and the training camp that he's had thus far. And Joe Rexrode, I bring that up because I got this text message last night at 8:30 from our mutual friend, Jared Stillman. And all it says is, you got to hammer Joe's butt about how everyone at camp thinks Ryan Tannehill looks terrific except him. Graziano, Jeremy Fowler, Charles Davis, and now Diana Russini as well. So my question to you, Joe Rexrode, is, are you missing the boat on the camp that Ryan Tannehill is having?
Is Jared an effing idiot?
I'm just passing along the message that I was sent.
So he's texting me during the game, too. He's like, Charles Davis says he's had looks great in camp. What do you have to say about that? You know, and apparently also, like, I'm a huge – this is now – it's so bad that yesterday I'm driving around and I'm like, what? Listening to Jared, my name in Jared's mouth again. I mean, if my kids are asking me if Jared's obsessed with me, then Jared should look at himself in the mirror. I'll save some of that for the rant, but let me just make it clear. I agree that Ryan Tannehill looks good in camp. Have I ever said otherwise?
No.
What in the hell is wrong with Jared? Seriously. Like, he's Alex Jones. Like, he's freaking InfoWars Jared Stillman. Like, dude, listen to the words and then react to the actual words spoken. Here's the problem that I have for the millionth time. I disagree, and no one said it, that Ryan Tannehill had a terrible camp or looked terrible last year. Jared wants it to be this correlation. He looked terrible in camp, and he was bad in the season, and this year he looks great in camp, so we know what's going to happen. Ryan Tannehill looked like Ryan Tannehill in camp last year. He threw the ball well every single day. He threw more picks than you'd like to see early in the camp. He looks very good. I agree. This is not controversial, and I don't disagree with anyone who says he looks great. I went through the whole thing with the people who cover the Titans. There were some who think he does look quite different, some who don't. Right?
Yeah.
I like, what else do we have to say about this stuff?
He seems to be having a tough time matching up that what you're saying is the performance in training camp does not necessarily mean he's going to go out there and just totally ball out this year in the regular season. I think that is the point you've been trying to drive home the entire time.
Yes.
Am I mistaken?
No, you're right. And again, I agree that he looks good. Is he different? Look, I can't get inside his head. Things are very different for him, okay? Things are very different for him. He's trying to prove this year that he should still be an NFL starter. I mean, I think he probably could find another job somewhere after this. He could be a Band-Aid guy somewhere like Wentz and Rivers and Ryan have been in Indy, you know? But this is a crossroads year for him, and the people view him totally differently because of last year, but especially because of the playoff game. And so he's talked about how much it affected him. So all that stuff is different than it was a year ago. Psychologically, it's very different. I'm just saying, like, we did not go into last season saying, man, after that camp, ooh, what's up with this offense? What's up with Tannehill? What are the concerns about this offense? No, everybody thought they were going to light the world on fire. And because he threw, you know, five picks early in camp, people weren't jumping off the boat. That's the whole point. And right now, he looks really good. But, okay, let's see whoever the right tackle is protect him. Let's see the left side of the line run block for Derrick Henry the way they have been. Let's see these receivers, Woods, Westbrook, Akine, looking good. Let's see that. Let them do that on Sundays. I don't know. Like, everybody in the NFL is getting ready right now. Training camp is training camp. I mean, it's very difficult to find proven players who have actually done good things on Sundays in the NFL who don't look good in freaking training camp.
What did I title this segment on the grid?
Yeah, you said it's going to be pissed. And you know that you said this is going to piss me off. But the thing is, I think you thought that Diana Russini saying Tannehill looks great was going to piss me off.
No. I knew exactly what was going to make you mad in this segment. And let me tell you, I was exactly right.
God. I can vouch for Robbie on that one, Joe, because he gave me a little preview before the show.
One thing I am curious about, though, and I've thought about this more recently. Let's say for sake of argument, Joe, that Ryan Tannehill is the best version of Ryan Tannehill this season. So he cuts down on the mistakes. You know, he's not throwing the ball to the other team as much this year. You know, he is the best version. He plays as well as he can play this year. What does that mean? Like, how does that translate without A.J. Brown? What does that mean for the team? Like, if Ryan Tannehill is 2020 version Ryan Tannehill, I'm not talking strictly from numbers. I think that's the best I've ever seen him play was in 2020. If he plays that way again, how does that translate on the field to this Titans team when you don't have A.J. Brown and you do have some question marks at wide receiver and you do have question marks with the offensive line? That's what I don't know. Like, if Ryan Tannehill, I think, could play really well this year, and if they don't have a game-changing player at wide receiver, you know, what does that ultimately mean in the end? I think that's a really interesting question.
Yeah, well, and I agree. And I'm going to go back to, well, that's the thing. They're not going to, I don't believe, they're not going to duplicate what they had in 20 with second year, by the way, banged up, but still really good AJ Brown. I don't think that there's anybody on this roster who is going to give them what he was that year. And I also don't think that, you know, I mean, Derrick Henry looks great. But that was 2,000 yard Derrick Henry, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
that was Arthur Smith. There's a whole lot of things that was.
It was Arthur Smith. But I think maybe the biggest thing, over and over again, and another stupid argument that we shouldn't have to have. This is what I'll save some of this because it's hilarious. It's like rail about the offensive line and then try to say that that wasn't the issue. I mean, that was the biggest difference from last, you know, 21 to 20 is the offensive line play. And yeah, you know, it could be better this year because of Lawan in particular. And I think Nate Davis too. I think Nate Davis can play a lot better than he played last year. But you still have that question at right tackle, and it could be worse. So I hate to like take the Tannehill question and put it on someone else because that's taking responsibility off him. But if you don't give that guy clean pockets, yeah, he's athletic and he can break the pocket, and he can make plays, but he's a pocket. He is more comfortable in the pocket, you know, as a pocket passer. And when he got that, he got those clean pockets in the second half of 19 and most of 20, even without Lawan, he was awfully good.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Chad, who wants to weigh in. Chad, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Loving this Rex Road Jared bit right here. Rex Road, if you don't be careful, they're going to throw you on his, you'll be in that time slot with Jared, and we'll be listening to that hours in, hours out, because you know how radio loves that. But great stuff, definitely on your side of that take. Diving into the Titans quarterback situation, I think one of the biggest things in this situation is this idea that Malik Willis is going to be an NFL quarterback. We've never seen a quarterback like that have success deep into the playoffs where you actually try to make plays past the line of scrimmage. That just doesn't work in the NFL. I think if Bill Belichick comes in here day one, if let's say he's your guy, I think Willis finds himself off the roster because I think he gets it. And so if we're going to have fans calling for him or in their locker room, people potentially call for him, I think that's just a mistake because I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. We saw how many teams pass on him in the NFL draft, / all of them. So I think they need to address that one and try to find a viable backup. But my thoughts on that.
Thanks for the call, Chad. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I think it's certainly fair to say right now he's not. I don't think many people would argue that other than the national media members screaming about how he might take Ryan Tannehill's job at some point this year. But I also think it's way too soon to give up and have some declaration on Malik Willis, maybe one way or the other.
Yeah, I agree. I would not at this point feel comfortable at all saying he'll never do it. Again, I start with the baseline of almost no one does, you know, including first round picks. So to me, the odds are stacked against anyone being like a really good starting quarterback in the NFL. But it's way too early to say he can't. Look, he's got some things that most quarterbacks in this league don't have. You got to keep that in mind. Now, can he put it together? I don't know, but I like his approach, and I'm very interested to see how different he looks like next spring and into camp. And of course, at that point, there's so much that's going to be determined around him that we can't predict right now. You know,
we'll continue the discussion on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans and welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. A lot of thoughts to get to, so let's just go ahead and roll through them. JC in Goodlettsville on the text line says, following Jared's logic, since Baltimore has won 20-plus preseason games, they've won multiple Super Bowls in that same time frame. Huh? This is coming from JC in Goodlettsville on the text line. They have not won any Super Bowls in the 22-game NFL preseason winning streak for the Ravens. Although it is very impressive.
I mean, they have been good, I guess.
They've been good.
For the most part, so. So, Jared's right.
Indy Ben on the text line says, forgive me if I have my doubts that Tannehill balls out this year. For a guy who needs everything around to be working in order to be successful, things don't look as certain around him. He'll be thrown to an undeveloped rookie and a 30-year-old wide receiver coming off an injury compared to having a top 10 wide receiver in Brown, not to mention a worse offensive line from every indication I've seen. This is coming from Indy Bent on the text line, who yesterday said that the Titans should be the favorite in the division.
Well, that's the interesting thing, too, is this Titans will be worse up front. I mean, I don't know, like with Brewer, like what's the drop off from Saffold to Brewer? Saffold definitely played hurt some, so he was limited at times, I think, by his health. At times he was really good in this offense as a left guard. And the Titans could have brought David Questenberry back, you know? I mean, they've kind of been like the right tackle is there. It's like the Colts quarterback for them. Obviously very different, way less important. But, hey, right tackle is a hot topic in Nashville, Tennessee. But they let, you know, they moved on from Questenberry, to me, which to me tells me that they believe they can be better. I guess my question right now is, do they still believe they can be better at right tackle this year than they were with David Questenberry?
I don't know.
And if not, then why did they do what they did?
Well, I mean, look, maybe they had faith in Dylan Radins, and they had faith in Nicholas Petit-Frere, and maybe that faith was just misplaced. I mean, look, I still think there's a chance that by the end of the season, Petit-Frere could be in a better spot than Questenberry ever was last year. The biggest question I have with Petit-Frere right now is, how quickly can he get ready? Like, I still think there are tools there where he can be ready at some point to be a good player, maybe even this year. But how quickly can he do it? That's my big question with him. And if it's not quickly enough, what does that mean for this offense as a whole through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, where every win this year, I think, heading into it, is going to be so critical given the state of the rest of the conference? That's my big question with him.
Yeah. No question. No question. That's a good question.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. No. I mean, I think that he could be better. It's like, does this put you in a hole early in the season because you have this one spot where you're just glaringly, you know, ill-equipped to play people? Questenberry last year, again, it wasn't the plan. I mean, you know, Jamarco Jones to me looks kind of like the Kendall Lamb ad from a year ago. Thought it was going to be Lamb against Radins, and neither were good. And then, you know, you get to, okay, well, Questenberry, the guy who's bounced all around, and hey, I mean, he was okay. There were times when it was obvious that they had a patchwork situation at right tackle, but he was okay. Okay right now sounds fine. If you can have okay for the first month of the season there, I think everything else on that offensive line could be good enough that you're just fine. But I just don't know if they even have that right now.
Well, with Tannehill, look, I don't want to oversimplify this, but to me, the big question with Tannehill this year really boils down to, can you take care of the football? Like, that's what I'm concerned about with Tannehill heading into this year. He had 14 picks last year in the regular season and then three more in the playoff game. So you're talking about 17 interceptions last year. You know, the year before that, he had 7. The year before that, albeit in a more limited circumstance, was 6. Even his last year in Miami, he only threw 9. So you're talking about 3 years in a row there of single-digit interceptions. Like, I realize the last year he only played 11 games in Miami as well. But can you get back to taking care of the football? That was what was so weird last year at times, is some of the interceptions that he threw last year. Yes, some of them were Des Fitzpatrick running the wrong route. Some of them were, you know, tips up in the air. I get that. It's going to happen to you as a quarterback. But some of them were just totally not seeing the defense. And that, to me, is the big thing with him this year. With this defense and with the running game that we think you have heading into the season, can you take care of the football? To me, if you're Tannehill and you take care of the football, you're probably going to like the results most time at the end of the day. So, again, I don't want to oversimplify it with Tannehill. He's going to have to make some throws and make some plays, particularly if they get back to the playoffs. But the big thing is taking care of the football. Like, that's what he's got to do this year that he didn't do a good job of last year.
Yeah, I agree. Now, again, there were some picks, you know, seven of those. So what's that, 17?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, seven of them on 2 days, you know. So it wasn't an every week thing, but it was still the overall volume was way too high. And there were just some moments where, like, my at the time during some of them, you know, the Des Fitzpatrick thing, we all know about that one, right? But, you know, at the time as he's going through some of it, you're looking and you're saying, look at that protection. Look at this completely new group of receivers where 2 weeks ago it was totally different guys at receiver. There were a lot of excuses to make for him in the moment. Once you got to the end and you got to the end of the Cincinnati game, I looked at it differently somewhat after that. I still think that some of those excuses or reasons or whatever are valid in some situations, but I mean that was just obviously a disaster. I do wonder also how much of that is like Arthur Smith was really good at putting him in good positions and taking advantage of his strength and hiding his weaknesses.
Yeah.
And Todd Downing wasn't. Again, that's still taking responsibility off Tannehill. But look, the reality of football is these are massive committees having huge committee meetings, all these different people combining. It comes down to the guy who pulls the trigger on the field, and the quarterback gets all the glory and all the blame. But there is a ton that goes into it. And can the Titans be, as Mike Vrabel said, great around him this year? Maybe they can be better at OC. They can be really good at running the football still. But the offensive line, you know, the receiver without, as pointed on the text line there, without that, by Andy Ben, without that one guy who can just take over a game, these are all really good questions.
Well, but to that point, the one thing that I do put stock into in training camp in terms of it translating to the regular season, or at least you hoping that it does, is you look at his pass-catching targets, whether it's Burks or Woods or Hooper, whoever you want to throw out there, Nick Westbrook, Akine, they've all been on the field the whole time for the most part during camp. I mean, that was not the case last year. I mean, you could take this back to minicamp. I mean, he's been out there throwing to these guys for months at this point. And, look, I don't think that means that this wide receiver group is all of a sudden going to transform into, like, this top group in the league. But I do put stock into having your targets available and getting in significant work with them on the field in camp. I have to think at some point that translates early in the season and you at least have a certain level of comfort that, you know, he had it with AJ last year. I'm not sure he ever had it with Julio Jones.
Well, I think you just hit on a much bigger deal than Tannehill looks great in camp or Tannehill's leading or whatever. Much bigger deal is that he's getting work every day with the guys who are going to be out there, as long as they're healthy, every game day. Totally different from last year. And it's more important probably on their side, especially the young guys, but it's important for him too to have built that chemistry. And like Hooper, he's built up a good catalog of reps with Hooper. Phillips, you know, Burks, you know, we'll see what his role is early, but and obviously, like he and Woods, I think it's like he and Woods can talk about stuff the way he and Julio did last year. But the difference is Woods is actually also out there every single day, and they're getting that timing honed. That's the important part of the camp thing as it relates to Tannehill.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Paul Kaharski coming up at 8 o'clock for his thoughts on the Titans. Bob Kravitz from The Athletic at 9 o'clock, and also some fantasy football trivia in the 8 o'clock hour for a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So looking forward to that a little bit later in the program as well. Kevin from Laverne on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Tannehill looks good in camp as usual, but the same as last year, the offensive line is bad, and Tannehill doesn't like to get hit, which he will again this year. He has nobody but Robert Woods to throw to. Hopefully Kyle Phillips is the real deal. But until Tannehill plays into the fifth or sixth regular season game and looks decent, that's all he is a game manager. People need to shut up. I think with this schedule and O-line, we as Titans fans are in for a long season. This is coming from Kevin from Laverne on the text line. Kevin, not a big fan of Tannehill, not much faith in this Titans team.
Wow, there's a downer.
Yeah. Not a sunshine blower.
Yeah, not sunshine blowing there from Laverne. Yeah, well, I don't know if the offensive line's bad. You know, I don't know. I don't know if Tannehill likes or dislikes getting hit any more than your average.
Well, let's just make this clear. There's not a quarterback out there that says, you know what, I enjoy just getting clobbered every time I get rid of the football.
Yeah, come on. You know,
hit me again.
Yeah. I don't know if the offensive line's bad. I think there's a chance it could be. I think it could be, especially if, you know, right tackle is just a complete problem early in the season, and that can mess everything up. I don't know that it's going to be bad all year, and I don't know that I agree about nobody to throw to but Robert Woods. I mean, I think that, look, Treylon Burks has got to be a guy this year. He's got to be a guy. I think early in the season they're gonna find ways to get the ball in his hands, and you're gonna see some things and say, okay, I can see it. Now we'll see if he can put that all together this year like AJ Brown did in his rookie season. And again, we'll keep leaning on those stats. First four games, A.J. Brown right around 40%-ish snaps. And this great rookie year when we're all looking at A.J. Brown like, oh, my gosh, first month of the season, he couldn't even get out there for half the snaps. But they found ways to get him the ball, let him make some big plays, and then eventually gets into the 60s and beyond as the season went on, starting week five, right? So
it's hard to take snaps away from Tajay Sharp, but eventually he did it.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. No doubt. And there's for Treylon Burks, I guess that would be, well, if Treylon Burks comes on and can become a more reliable guy in every situation, then I think Westbrook Akine would be the one that would be, you know, giving up some snaps to him. That would seem to follow. I think Robert Woods is going to be out there all the time, but Westbrook Akine is also a guy who I think is going to be a nice receiver for this team this year. Possession guy, not a blow anybody away type player, but he's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Let's go back to the text line. Got a texture that says, what I don't get is Vrabel said we have to be great around Ryan with better quarterback play and all that and can't make mistakes and turn the ball over. Well, that offensive line is pretty friggin' important to quarterback play, right? So why do they keep neglecting – or why do they keep not neglecting but just not doing enough to fix the offensive line?
Well, because I don't think it's neglect. I understand that you could look at it and say, well, why didn't you go sign a veteran that you know can play? So that would be the one thing there that they didn't do. Now they went and signed Jamarco Jones, which, hey, to me, just like Kendall Lamb, okay, well, we'll see if he can play. He's played inside and outside. Right now, he looks like he's kind of like Kendall Lamb from a year ago. He just isn't really, isn't really showing up. He's been hurt a little bit too. But they've tried to address it in the draft. I think they obviously had a better outlook on Dylan Raidens than people who think they're really smart, who you know watch Raidens come out there in a pinch and not look like an all-pro against the Niners last year. I would say still, that performance, look at every snap of Raidens in that game, it was better than I would have guessed he would have done. I thought it was going to be a complete disaster.
I thought they were in for a rough night.
I mean, yeah, it takes some smoke and mirrors, right, at times. And obviously they figured out a way to hide him enough, and he actually did on a few plays look like an offensive tackle in the NFL. But obviously they thought that he had a chance to do this. They poured a lot into it, and now it appears they've concluded he can't. They drafted Petit Frere. I mean, a third-round pick is nothing to sneeze at. That's a valuable pick. You can do a lot of different things with that. So it's choices. It's bad choices more than it is them not caring or not trying. But again, if it turns out bad and Petit Frere is not good this year and they're bad there, then you can go back and say, well, somehow you needed to cut somebody else and find a way with the cap to go. And I don't know, who would it have been? Who was the big score at offensive tackle this offseason that they could have gone after that they didn't?
I'd have to rack my brain and go back through free agents. Couldn't tell you.
I don't feel like it was a great offensive tackle free agency market.
We'll go back and look and see who they missed out on at the free agent spot. Dennis on the text line says, I think Tannehill is more talented to be a game manager, but I need him to be a game manager plus this season. A game manager plus. I don't know if I've ever heard that term before, but I like it. Here's the interesting part about Tannehill to me. Like, the conversation from the moment the Cincinnati game took place was, okay, well, he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. That's what it is with Tannehill. Like, he's a good player. I don't think, well, I shouldn't say this. There are some that dispute that. Most people don't dispute that Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback, I think. He is a good quarterback. He's been good enough to lead you to two consecutive division titles. They did get the number one seed last year, although, I mean, there was many reasons that went into that. But the guy, the question is he good enough to win the Super Bowl? And that's what this team is trying to accomplish. I mean, that's what you've been building towards over the last three, four years in this window. And I still, at the end of the day, I look at him and I look at the other quarterbacks in the AFC, and my answer is no, he's not good enough to win the Super Bowl. So I think there's a chance he plays really well in the regular season this year. I think there's a chance that, you know, he cuts down on the interceptions and maybe he gives them a shot come playoff time. But that's what the conversation has been with Tannehill. Is he good enough or is he not good enough to put the team over the top and win a Super Bowl? And until proven otherwise, my answer on that is no. And I don't know that there's really anything realistic that he could do because, you know, if he goes out and throws 48 touchdowns this year, then maybe I feel a little bit differently. But I don't think there's anything realistic Ryan Tannehill can do for me this year in the regular season that's really going to change my opinion on that. Like, I think that just kind of is what it is until proven otherwise in the playoffs at this point.
Nah, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, look, we are where we are with the camp, so let's, you know, all you can do is look at what's going on, and he looks good, but, I mean, now we get to the next phase, and even if he looks good, if he has a great year, the same question will come back around, you know, when you get to that point. And I've always argued there's plenty of examples, not a ton, it's not a regular occurrence, but there are plenty of examples of quarterbacks who are in his realm or lower who have gotten there, Goff and Jimmy G recently, you know, both got there. So I think Tannehill at his best with the perfect conditions could do it. And the question is, do they have those conditions? You know, I mean, there's, you know, when
the perfect conditions sure rarely materialize. Rarely.
Yeah. No, they have to be. And the hard part is that last year there was some good things in place. You know, win two home games. Yeah. I mean, you still always come back to that too. So I'm looking at, you know, Lael Collins, you know, Cincy.
Yeah.
Signed him as a right tackle. Three year, 21 mil.
Well, there's been a couple different people that have reached out to me and said Armstead as a tackle.
Yeah.
Went to, well, you're talking gigantic money though. The Titans are never going to get in that.
Right, you're talking, yeah, huge money left tackle. What did he sign, like 5 years, 75?
5 years, $87.5 million.
Oh, and by the way, the cap isn't real, folks. Yeah, you think the New Orleans Saints don't want Teron Armstead to still be their left tackle? Yeah. It's called the salary cap. It's adjustable. It does exist.
It does. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, a spicy edition of the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
So I have a theory on Joe Rex Road.
Okay.
And the theory is that Joe makes some of his, and this is natural and subconscious, this is not like an actively malicious thing that Joe does, but that Joe makes a lot of his opinions based upon whatever the opposite of my opinion is. So if I have an opinion and I'm very strong about that opinion, Joe will not like the opinion and will then drive the other way. And Raiden's is an example, because last year this time I was like, ah, he's a bust. And Joe was like, it's preposterous. How could you say he's a bust? Oh, yeah, you know, whatever. Whereas like TD said the same thing. But like, I don't think it kept TD up at night. I think it was just like TD's like, yeah, it's too early to call him a bust. And then TD moved on. Joe, you know, like really dug in deep. And because of that, he became like super pro Raidens. And last year we used Bobby Hart as like the thing to make fun of Joe when it was like, oh, I still think Raidens can come in. And I'm like, Bobby Hart off the practice squad is playing at left tackle against the Chiefs over Raidens. That's how bad he is. Well, you know, he's young. He's whatever, you know, Joe got. And so that's how much we know about. That's how we know who Bobby Hart is, because we spent so much time making fun of Raidens last year talking about Bobby Hart.
And to be fair, I did think that you prematurely called Dylan Raidens a bust. I didn't think it was fair at that point to call him a bust. But if this is year two and he can't get in and start at a tackle position, the reason why they drafted Dylan Raidens in the second round, I think that you can start to lean toward the B conversation.
So I took AP English in high school, and it would be a lot of like Virginia Woolf novels. And we'd have to figure out like, sounds what is the imagery here that Virginia
the
Woolf
symbolism.
Is. Yes.
Yep.
So I heard what you said, but what I interpreted that as is, you were right, Jared. Your offensive line evaluating is impeccable.
Don't worry. Be happy.
That was a conversation yesterday on Stillman & Company between Jared Stillman and Caroline Fenton, a lot of which was at the disposal of our very own Joe Rexroad, which I think quite nicely sets up the Rex Rant for today. If you're watching on our video stream, brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Very animated discussion, or I guess listening experience, that Joe Rexroad just had. Joe, I turn things over to you after what we've just heard.
You know, I don't even... This was a very unfortunate bit of timing for me, because I was taking my daughter to her tennis match. And so I heard this right as he started saying it. And first of all, I thought to myself, like, does he talk about me all the time? I mean, I know, I think didn't Jared say last year we talk about him 70% of the time something like that?
60% of the show at one point we apparently discussed him.
But hey, but you know what? He's getting what he wants right now. We just heard his voice just blabbing across the airwaves, and now we're talking about him. So Jared's winning. But I heard that and I texted you guys. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to rant about this, because it's just like, I mean, it's sort of like, so I compare this. This is like verbal herpes. Okay. So it's like, you can try to ignore it. Like, you can try to just pretend it doesn't exist, but like at some point you have to address it. You know, you got to get the penicillin or whatever the hell. You know. So, this is my recollection, and if Jared has receipts that say otherwise, then I welcome them. I had an argument actually with Caroline. Caroline could have defended me a little bit better there, but she basically brought it up. The one big argument we had last year, which I think was on Jared versus Joe, was the idea that the philosophical idea that if someone is struggling as a rookie, you know that they're toast. Like, they're not going to make it. And Caroline and I both argued against Jared. Like, I definitely said, I'm not giving up on Radins. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to become. But no, I disagree with the idea that you struggle as a rookie in this league and you can't get better. And I will continue to believe that. Okay. And Jared, you know, because what Jared does is says everybody sucks. And then when, like, I mean, Jared said Jonnu Smith sucks probably 9,000 times on the air over years. And Floyd kind of chuckled at him because Floyd had a great way of handling his BS. But, you know, there's so many examples like that turned out to be wrong. So Radins is not very good. I was never, you tell me, Robbie, have I been super pro Radins in anything? Written word, spoken word, talking to Katie late at night, talking to the kids when I take them, you know, to school. Like, have I been pro Radins?
Well, I mean, you did leave your Radins Titans jersey in the chair over here in the studio.
I got the pin next to my NWI pin.
No, I don't think you have.
So, you know, again, that was one argument that I had about, and I still believe it. I still believe it. Radins not materializing as a good player does not change my core belief there. It goes beyond this player or that player, this take or that take, okay? I think that players can get better. And that sometimes people jump a little bit too quickly to say this person sucks, that person sucks, this person's a bust. It's very easy, you know, it's very lowest common denominator. Use different words. But as far as this idea that, like, I take a Jared opinion and try to go there, dude, I don't want to hear your opinions. Earmuffs, Jared. I don't want to know.
Well, so, let me put my Dr. Phil hat on for a second. Do you think there is an element to your subconscious that you hear Jared spout off an opinion and you think to yourself, maybe you don't even think to yourself, maybe it's just an involuntary reaction that you have with your body of, nope, that's dumb, not doing it. Do you think that happens every now and then?
What happens is I've said this before. I actually probably, if you went through a whole show, I probably agree. I agree with more than I don't agree with Jared's opinions. The problem is that what I don't agree with, which is a philosophical thing, is that he has to go to the extreme. Tannehill sucked last year in camp. No, he didn't. You know, it has to be the super extreme, and he takes it too far, which to me is probably intentional. And so I battle against that because there's just a lot more gray than there is black and white, and that's just how it. Most of his opinions I think are fine. Then he'll go Toonses and he'll pull it off the cliff, and I'm sorry, but I'm gonna push back on the Toonses takes.
Is that AP English class?
Yeah. AP English. I'm glad, good to know he took that though.
That was I like how he slipped that in there.
That was good. He goes, and I interpret this how I know how to analyze an offensive line.
Hey,
Caroline's like,
Yeah, what about that? Mark, see,
what? You Go guys ahead. Need to rip it more and take that some off my plate, you know? I need help from you guys.
Oh, I enjoy letting you do it. It's much more enjoyable for me. It's way more enjoyable for me to let you do it.
Yeah, same.
Mark from Hendersonville on the text line says, Jared is such an extremist. I had to turn him off when he started talking about the right tackle. He said he can't sleep because of it. It's so dumb. He may end up being right, but if Jared was around during McNair's first years, he would have called him a bust. He's too much for me.
Oh, my God. Imagine that. If he had a microphone back then.
This Steve McNair. Terrible. He'll never get on the field.
Oh my God. I mean, it's yeah. And so look, I feel like I'm trying to be his Sherpa. Okay. And but this is what you can't do is what I've done here again is you get upset. You know, this needs to be done with love and understanding and caring. Okay.
Has that happened one time? Have you done this with love, understanding, or caring one time?
Oh, I've been more than patient with him.
You're too emotionally involved, right?
That's not what I asked you. Love, understanding, and caring as the Sherpa.
I think absolutely that I've showed some of that. And then at times I lose my mind. By the way, good point on my personal text. I have penicillin, morpha, chlamydia, or gonorrhea.
Also, you.
Verbal Valtrex apparently is what we need. So we'll get some of that for Jared.
Is that on Amazon? What do you do with that stuff? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I got a lot of thoughts on the text line, most of which I can't read. So we'll move on to something else. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, also from Outkick 360 as well. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they enter into the final week of the preseason this week against Arizona. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.